This morning's message is, how well do you do in the waiting room, developing the fruit of patience in our lives? I don't know about you, but most people don't like waiting, do they? So I got a question for you this morning. Have you ever struggled with being impatient, looking like that guy?
Oh my God, this is my life.
Anybody struggle with impatience here once in a while? Yeah, okay, yeah, we're all honest. All of us, one time or the other, have struggled with being impatient. In so many places in Scripture, however, not just in Colossians, but there's other places, we are encouraged to take off certain things in our lives so that we would be more Christ-like, and then to put on certain things so that we would be more Christ-like. And I can't think of a better season than the season of Lent. I know Advent has its own meaning to it, but Lent is the season where we look to see how Christ-like we really are in our daily lives, not just in church, not just with the way we look on Sunday mornings, but how we deal with each and every day, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every single day of the week. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in the preceding verses, the verses that Kathy didn't read, I intentionally left them out because I want to spend more time on this whole idea of patience. He says there's certain things that we should take off. And he uses the metaphor of clothing, like taking off clothes, taking off the garment of anger and rage and slander and cursing and lying and gossip. These are all characteristics that do not really represent the behavior and the personhood of Jesus Christ. However, in chapter 3, he tells us, now that you've taken off those things, I want you to put on some garments. And the garments he talks about is compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forgiveness, love, and yes, patience. And we're told to put on these garments just as you got dressed this morning, wearing the clothes that you're wearing today. Metaphorically, every day we're to put on these garments of characteristics that we're more compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and forgiving and loving. And yes, something that probably all of us struggle with, being more patient. Now, I want to consider patience this morning. And I want to say this, Lord knows God is awfully patient with us, amen?
Amen.
I mean, man is God. I don't know about you. No, I don't know. I'm looking at your angelic faces. You probably have, but God's got a lot of patience with me. And so the word that Paul uses in Colossians as he addresses the church in Colossae, it's a New Testament Greek word, a long-enduring, lacking temper, meaning that we can endure without getting frustrated and angry and all pent up, putting off our temper. And then Nelson's commentary says, it's an endurance in the face of adversity. In other words, when we come up against adversity, we can endure it with patience without losing our cool, without getting frustrated, without getting angry, without complaining, I just saw somebody nudge her husband. I'm not going to say who it is. But there are a number of words. The Greek language is a very interesting language, similar to English, where you could have multiple meanings for the same pronunciation of a word. There are two main characteristics assigned to the word patience in the New Testament Greek, but one that Paul is using in this text has more to do with patience with other people. And may I suggest that our patience is usually challenged when we have to deal with others, right? I mean, usually when we have to deal with other people, difficult people. You have any difficult people in your life?
No,
that's what I wanted to hear. We're all lying, we're all going to hell. No. You know, someone once said that patience is remaining consistent in our attitude all the time. In other words, people should expect a consistency. And I'm a realist. I know there's going to be times we're going to be challenged, pushed over the edge. But consistency means most of the time, people are going to see a consistent behavior out of us that they're used to seeing. That's where our witness is, see? If people hear we go to church every Sunday and we serve in the church, but on Monday at the office we act like Genghis Khan, there's a questioning now. Wait a minute, is this real or not? So consistency is important. And I understand easier said than done, right? Staying consistent as far as being patient. We know that patience is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So in other words, there's all these fruits that they list, but patience is one of them, and we should have that fruit in our fruit basket as a believer in Jesus Christ. So where is our patience challenged? Where are we challenged in our patience? Checkout lines? Did that ever happen to you? Yeah? You ever have the person in the checkout line who forgot something and has to run all the way back to aisle 8 to get it? And you're standing there going, yeah, right, okay. Waiting for that person to come back. Traffic, we're challenged patient-wise in traffic situations. How about the doctor's office? We're challenged there. Waiting for people to change their lives. Get a load of that one. Can I make a suggestion that has nothing to do with this sermon? Stop trying to change somebody else. Just pray that God does the change. You and I change. We could change our behavior. We can't change anybody. So if you got a stubborn child, grandchild, husband, wife, mother-in-law, boss, stop trying to change the individual. Pray for that person. Love on them. Try to do it through example. Because we can only change ourselves. But wouldn't it be great if we never had to wait on anything? Could you imagine just like that, boom, and it's there. But life doesn't work that way. Waiting is part of the human condition. It's part of life. We need to get over it. We need to get used to it. But we need to do it biblically on how we're going to handle it. Our patience is even challenged in our waiting on God. Have you ever noticed that? How many times we've said, why is God taking so long to come through? Why, God, why are you taking so long to answer my prayer? As if God needed a wake-up call, right? Like, you ever sleep at a hotel and you put in a wake-up call? For those of you that were in Israel with my wife and I, what was our time every morning? 6 o'clock. But we had a wake-up call at 6 o'clock, whether you liked it or not, that little phone. One hotel, it was a chirping sound. I thought there was a bird in my room. Right, Jennifer? You remember? That wasn't a wake-up call. It was a little chirping sound. But we feel sometimes that, like, God needs a wake-up call. Like, we got to call the front desk of heaven and say, wake up God, please. I've been praying, and he hasn't answered my prayer. Waiting could be so difficult when we fail to embrace the biblical principles of what it means to wait patiently. And I think that's what Paul is trying to say to us and in other places of Scripture. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, and I think it's part of it, but I don't think it has to do necessarily with chronological age, but what I've noticed in my own life, I'm learning how to enjoy the present and not so worried about the future. You know, when you're young, you're worried about the future, your 401k, the promotion, retirement, paying off the mortgage. I get all that. I was there once. But I can tell you that now in my life, I can enjoy the present a whole lot more. And it gives me patience because I say, you know what? I can't do anything about yesterday. And certainly tomorrow hasn't come yet, but I could certainly live in the present and make this present moment different in my life, learning how to enjoy time in the waiting room. So I want to ask you this. What are some of the signs of someone who's not waiting well in the waiting room? Complaining? You have any complainers in your life? Ooh, I got a woo over there. frustration, negativity, anger, grumbling. You got any grumblers in your life? Yeah. A sign of spiritual maturity is witnessed by how well we do in the waiting room of life. How well we patiently wait and trust that God's way and God's timing is more important than anything else. I believe this is where we're tested the most. At least I am. I believe for many of us, where God tests us the most, He tests us with our patience. I believe that. We know that nothing's impossible with God. The scripture says that. And yet, what we may want, He's not coming through on. He's not following through. He's not coming through on what we want. Because I believe God wants to see how well we do in the waiting room. How well do we handle the waiting room of life? Sometimes I sit in the doctor's office waiting room with lots of other people. And of course, I'm always hoping that the doctor's going to call me next, right? And that's the way it works. But what about when you're sitting in the waiting room and a patient who signed in after you gets called before you? What happens? Whoa! Are you kidding me? I've been sitting here a whole 7 minutes. And she comes waltzing in and gets called into the office. Well, I have an interesting story. It's a personal story. I want to share it with you. I was once in the dentist's waiting room, and it was a normal day. Everybody was reading Good Housekeeping magazines and Motor Trend magazines, and there was a Home Improvement Network a program on a flat screen TV of refurbishing houses, sort of to keep you occupied while you're waiting. Well, a young lady got called into treatment at this dentist's office. And as soon as she left the waiting room, a woman got up and she went right to the receptionist and she said, "Excuse me, she came in after me and she just got called." And I'll never forget, the receptionist jokingly responded, "Well, she's here for root canal, and you're here to see the hygienist for a cleaning, unless, of course, you would rather have root canal." We can arrange that. So you need to just sit down and relax. You're getting your teeth cleaned today. She's having a root canal. Totally different appointment. I've always come prepared for those waiting room experiences, and I don't always do it well, and I don't want to stand up here and give you the impression that I'm the most patient person in the world, because I'm not always the most patient person in the world. But whether I'm in a doctor's office waiting room or I'm at the airport, I try to bring things with me that I could do so that I'm utilizing my time. It could be a book, I could have a pad. This is a pad I bring with me everywhere in this folder. I'll see people walking around. I'll think of a sermon illustration or something, and I'll write it down. I'll have my iPad. My wife hates me on my iPad, though. If she could hide it from me, she would. But you could do a lot of things on your iPad. I even play Parachute Frog on my iPad. That's kind of weird. But the thing is, I try to use my downtime as a time of opportunity. So I turn it in from a downtime, a time where I could be challenged in my patience, to a time of opportunity where I could get things done, where I could actually utilize my downtime for something that's productive. Would I like to spend less time waiting on a delayed flight? When my wife and I flew back from Fort Lauderdale to JFK, we were in Key West. We had a 9-hour delay. Was I happy about that? I ran out of stuff to think about. I was thinking about killing somebody, actually. But did it do any good that I was organizing an airline revolt with the other passengers at gate A15? There were a bunch of us standing on this line figuring out what we were going to do, and we could do nothing. We could do absolutely nothing. But we commiserated together. I was good until the sixth hour. Sixth hour, I was okay. I was solid. When I went into the seventh hour, I sort of lost it. So, God will put difficult situations and difficult people in our lives who will test and challenge our patience. Sometimes God puts these situations in our path to see how well we're going to handle it, how well we're going to deal with other people and circumstances and situations. I'd like to share another story with you, if I may, and it has to do with the airlines again. I was checking into Northwest Airlines in Houston, Texas. I had just finished a conference there, and I was on my way back home, and there was this waiting line to a kiosk. You know, the kiosk, when you go, you put your driver's license in, and you go through a series of questions, and it prints a boarding pass for you. Now, everybody's waiting on that line patiently, and out of our left side, this woman on a phone blows right past everybody and goes to the next open kiosk. Well, under my breath, I say, can you believe this? Can you believe this, lady? I mean, are you kidding me? And then all of a sudden, I talk myself down and I said, Chuck, let it go. It's not worth it. Lord, help me right now with my frustration. When another terminal opened, and to show you how God works, it just so happened at that terminal there was a Northwest supervisor standing there, and he greeted me. He said, hello, sir, where are you headed? And I said, I'm headed to JFK. And he says, well, let me help you out here. And I says, well, you know, here's the deal. I told him, I said, there's a three-hour layover in Chicago, and I'm going to get home at 10:30 at night. Other than that, everything's fine. He says, hold on a second. He took my information. He came back. He said, I got good news for you. Would you mind going through Detroit instead of Chicago? And I said, no. He says, why? Because I'm going to get you home at 7:10 instead of 10:30. Now, here's the deal, folks. We could say it's a coincidence, it's a God incident, but had that woman not jumped in my space, I wasn't hoping she'd get a delayed flight, but... because of that delay, that supervisor just happened to be there who went up to the terminal and came back and got me on an earlier flight and got me home 3 hours early. And I said, thank you, Lord. I really did. And I'm not excusing that woman's actions and what she did. But you know what? Sometimes we misread people, too. Maybe she was so occupied on the phone. Maybe she had a family emergency. Maybe she didn't realize there was a line. And she, you know, I'm trying to justify it. She probably knew darn well what she was doing. But you know, sometimes give people some grace. And maybe she just didn't know better. God is always teaching us patience. God is always giving us those teaching moments where we might learn something in the waiting room of life. And so James chapter 1 verse 4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And the word that he uses for patience here is to remain cheerful and hopeful while enduring, while waiting. To keep a good attitude. You know, sometimes you just can't change anything. Okay, that 9-hour delay out of Fort Lauderdale to JFK, there was nothing I could do about it. It's just the way it was. I could either have a good attitude or a bad attitude. The one who has a real great attitude and teaches me lessons all the time is my wife. A lot of times she'll say, honey, go get a Starbucks coffee. It's going to be okay. She'll talk me down and she'll say, we have no choice. That's the way it is. And she'll bring me down to a good place. But I have found that when you become comfortable with the idea and the truth that God is in control, and I mean really in control of your life and my life, when you place yourself under His control, under His leading, under His direction, under His care, you will be more patient with life's journeys as challenges and circumstances come your way and my way. I believe that with all my heart. God's timing, remember this, is never off, never late, never early. God is always on time. Amen? God is always on time. God could respond sooner in some cases. Of course, that's what we want. But for whatever reason, in His infinite wisdom, He chooses to respond the way He does. I don't always have it figured out. But by patiently waiting, He stretches our faith. He stretches us. He expands our faith. He grows us in our faith. When we don't allow the fruit of patience to develop and grow in our lives, we'll find that we are often frustrated and disappointed with life. And folks, that's not a good way to live. Frustrated and disappointed. When that happens, we lose our joy, we lose our peace, and even worse, we lose our witness before others. Often at the root of the problem is what? We want to be in control, right? Don't we? We want to be in control of everything. But there's times and there's situations, friends, when we just don't have control over something, and we got to be able to let that go and let God take over. We're not always going to be in control. We have any control freaks in this church today?
No.
I got one person, he raised his hand. Amen. Come up, we're going to anoint you with oil. But not too long ago, I had to travel to White Plains in Westchester County. I had a meeting with our bishop. Now, I don't particularly like meeting with bishops because I like to fly under the radar and keep a low profile. I've been able to do that for 30 years to stay off the radar screen, right? So I get called up to his office for a meeting, and I even had Waze on, my GPS, and Waze dumped me right on the Whitestone Bridge. And the traffic was just stopped. I'm not talking about slow. I'm talking about stopped due to construction. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, the last thing I want to do is be late for my appointment with the bishop. But then it hit me. Chuck, you're not a helicopter. You're not a police car. There's nothing you could do right now. You can't lift yourself out of this mess, put on a Christian CD, sit back, and relax. So I did that. I listened to like four songs. I put Joel Osteen on Sirius. He's always happy, even in a traffic jam, so I figured I could learn something from him. So after a while, what happened, the traffic started moving again, two lanes open, and I was able to get through, and because I always leave home early, that's my the way I am. It's not that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, if they say be at the airport 3 hours before your flight, I'm there like 5 hours before the flight. But I made it to my appointment on time because, you see, the only control I had was what I was going to do in the waiting room on that expanse called the Whitestone Bridge. Would I be patient or impatient? Would I be calm or would I be a complainer? Because I had a choice to make. And you know what? God works that way in our lives. Things appear to be moving slowly. I'm not talking about traffic now. Things might be moving at a standstill pace in your life. And all of a sudden, as you're patient and you endure and you hope and you wait on the Lord, things open up and there's a breakthrough in your life to get through that snag that you're in, whatever that snag might be. I truly can see God's testing when I'm in God's waiting room of life, waiting to see how well I will respond in a given situation. And so Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step." And I want to tell you, many times I try to do it my way. I sing Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, not God's way. I think my way is better than God's way. And oftentimes, I will fall on my face and have many bumps on my head because I would not wait upon the Lord to direct me in the way that he would want me to proceed. Because God is like Waze. God is like a GPS system. Sometimes he will give you a course correction to get you around something so that you could resume your life with less trials and less troubles. But God also gave us free will. And we have the free will to either do it our way or we have the free will to do it God's way. But I want to reassure you this morning from this pulpit, God's way is always the best way. Amen. Amen? So, we're coming down to the end. When you find yourself in a waiting room of life, be open to God's leading. He may just have a course correction for you to make. Listen. Be receptive. Be open to the voice of God. Be open to hear what he has to say to you in that direction that you're heading in. And then it says in Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death." Acting out of impatience, I have found in my own life, often leads to some kind of, not death, but a disaster a wrong decision, a bad outcome, when I jump in there and just out of raw emotions, I respond, and it always comes back to get me. And so he says, it may seem right in your mind, but it's not always right in the mind of God. Put on patience. I truly believe that every time God wants to check on us to see if we're ready for something new in our lives, the first thing he checks off is our patience. How well are you handling patience, Chuck? How well are you handling that in your life? You see, patience may mean praying for someone who offended you. And by the way, I just did that this morning. I'm not going to go into the details, but I was somewhat offended by a text I received last night. No one in the church, relax. Okay, it's outside the church. So this morning, I said, you know what? I'm going to text him back. And God said, no, you're not. I backspace, I deleted, I put the phone down, that was it. And I'm so glad I did that, because I prayed through it, and he said, don't respond that way because it's not going to turn out right. Patience may mean waiting upon the Lord for guidance and wisdom and leading and dealing with a situation. And yes, it may even involve us not having our own way. Now, speaking of prayer, and I end with this and God's leading, when my patience is being tested, this is from personal testimony, I don't know about yours, when I'm being tested, And I'm about to do something unwise, like this morning with that text message, if I remember to just pray, the turmoil and the excitement and the aggravation and the frustration and the grumbling and everything that's going on deep down in my gut begins to dissipate. And I'm telling you, it happened to me this morning, not a year ago, not last week, just before I was ready to come to church. Had I sent that text, I think God would have dealt with me in this pulpit. He would have said, oh, you're talking about patience, huh, Chuck? You're a hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite means in the New Testament Greek? It's an acting term, putting on a different mask. I got a face for church, and then I got a face for when I send Darth Vader messages from my home. Text messages. He says, Chuck, don't be a hypocrite. So, how well do we do in the waiting room of life when dealing with people and circumstances? And I want to reassure you, when we remember to turn to God in all things, we'll wait well. We'll wait well, church. When we remember to seek God, He'll have us wait well in that waiting room of life. And so, Lord God, I just pray this morning. We're all going to be challenged concerning our patience. I was challenged just this morning, so I know it's real. I pray, Lord God, that as we go through the rest of this season of Lent, you'll begin to take off those garments that you don't want us to have. Grumbling and slander and gossip and anger and frustration. And may we put on those garments that you would have us to put on, compassion and love and forgiveness and patience. Teach us how to be a patient people in such an impatient world in which we live. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.